CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
For CJLO News, this is Ahmed Mushtahid. Due to multiple complaints over noise from outdoor summer events in Parc Jean-Drapeau, the City of Montreal has reached an agreement with South Shore Saint-Lambert. With the exception of a few events, the new noise level will be 75 decibels. Concert promoters will be required to measure noise both inside and outside the site. An inspection team with the Ville-Marie Bureau will also conduct periodic noise tests during concerts, according to Montreal Gazette. Saint-Lambert residents can learn more about the noise limits during an information session scheduled to take place on June 27th at the city's multipurpose center at 81 Hooper Street. In national news, up until the year 2013, Canada had a lifetime restriction preventing men who have sex with men from donating blood. Since then, Health Canada has approved to grant this group of men a deferral period of 5 years for blood donation. In 2016, the deferral period was reduced to 1 year. Recently, Health Canada has approved a request by Canadian Blood Services and Emma Quebec to reduce this deferral period from 1 year to 3 months, a significant step towards eliminating the deferral period entirely. The announced change is based on an analysis that revealed that there will be no increased risk to the safety of blood products intended for transfusion. The possibility of transmitting HIV by transfusion is extremely low at present, namely one chance in 23 million in Quebec, and the announced change will not alter this risk in any significant way. The change, which will apply both in Quebec and in other Canadian provinces, will ensure safe, non-discriminatory blood donations. Uber and Lyft drivers have been fighting for years for the right to unionize and negotiate better pay. Some drivers for those ride-hailing giants have decided to protest the declining wages. Demonstrations took place on Wednesday, May 8 in 10 U.S. cities, including Chicago, Los Angeles, and New York, as well as some European cities like London. The protests arrived just ahead of Uber's initial public stock offering, which is planned for Friday, May 10. Uber hopes to raise $9 billion U.S. dollars and is expected to be valued at up to $91.5 billion. It's not the first time drivers for ride-hailing apps have staged protests. Strikes were planned in several cities last month, although the disruption to riders appeared to be minimal. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
CJLO 1690 AM, this is Grade A Explosives, a bonus hour, MFers! Look at that, I self-edited myself with words and letters, because that's what you do. A doobly doot do doot doot do. What do I got this hour for you? Well, friends, I have a very special interview to do this hour with the fine owner of Small Stone Records, which is a label that you may have heard of if you like your fuzzy slash stonery slash heavy rock things. It was made by Scott Hamilton. It is based out of Detroit, Michigan. So it might be one of the only things that Detroit, Michigan is actually producing. Haha, but I'm... That's sort of a low blow to Detroit. But also, maybe not a low blow to Detroit. Anyway, let's not talk about Detroit now. Let's talk about Small Stone. Small Stone, originally founded in 95. And has been going since then. I got a chance to go down to South by Southwest where they had a showcase of stuff at the at Lambert's, which is a barbecue place and does barbecue all the time, and is just the best smelling place. And it makes me sad that I couldn't have barbecue there. And I was very, very much wanting some, because it perpetually smells of it. So in this delicious haze of barbecue, I got to see a bunch of bands that's on Small Stone right now. And it's good, good stuff. So let's start off with a band that is currently there on Small Stone making waves. You know what? Let's start off with the Canadian thing too. So, you know, it's not just things that are happening down in the States, in Michigan and the surrounding area. No, Scott reaches out and gets stuff done from other places. I didn't quite know how to finish that, so I just kind of stopped. It's probably not what I should do. I should probably, you know, actually finish my thought. Anyway, the point is, let's get some Lachinga playing. They have a record called Beyond the Sky that they released recently. So let's play something off of here to give you an idea of maybe what's going on with the label at this point in history, but a very kind of like small portion of what's going on. But we'll go over that later. And I will, if you don't think I'm going to play some classic tracks from bands gone by, and fools, you are. Here's some Lachinga with Killer Wizard off of Beyond the Sky. And then we'll come back and we'll start up this interview. So keep it locked. This is Great Explosive, CJLO, 1690 AM.
Killer Wizard. Because nobody cares who I am.
I don't know. I don't think that's true.
Well, they're more into the artist than the player behind it.
Yeah, that's true.
I've always tried to sell the artist and not myself. I'm the machine behind them. You know, I'm just laying back and chill.
Yeah, I suppose. But I would say that without anybody behind it, it's very difficult to do anything like
this.
CJLO 1690 AM, that is a small clip that was at the very end of us talking. That's Scott Hamilton from Small Stone Records, the big boss man, the founder of Small Stone Records, talking about how I was doing this interview and how he doesn't think that people would be very interested in... Well, specifically he was talking about an ID, because I wanted him to do an ID for the station, but he thought that no one would be interested, and so that was the exchange that we had based on that. And I am going to prove that wrong by playing this interview from him, and you are all going to be interested in it, because I told you you would be, and so that's all there is to it. First, though, I'm going to play some ads, because, you know, I just want to do that. So let's play some ads, and then from there we will start with part one of this interview with Scott from Small Stone. So keep it locked. CJLO 1690 AM. This is Grade A Explosives.
Do you like attending free events? How about free concerts or free film screenings? CJLO's magazine team is always looking for contributors to cover rad events all over the city. If you'd like to become a contributor, send an email to mageditor@cjlo.com and check out our magazine at cjlo.com.
If you like served with a side of a little bit of and a heaping helping of then you're gonna love BVST, your best and worst of rock and roll, country, punk, and metal, every Wednesday from 7 to 9, right here on CJLO 1690 AM. CJLO, so cool, we're from the future.
CJLO 1690 AM, as I promised, here's Scott Hamilton from Small Stone Records. This is me talking with him down at South by Southwest, where they had a showcase featuring, bands like Lachinga and other bands I'm going to play during this hour. So let's start off this interview. Keep it locked. This is Grade A Explosive, CJLO 1690 AM. Take it away, me and Scott from March? Oh, man, time flies a lot. CJLO 1690 AM.
Hey, everybody. This is Andrew. I am here with a very special guest. I will let him intro himself.
Oh, okay.
Well, I can intro him. I'm here with Scott, owner of Small Stone Records, the proprietor, the big cheese, as it were, of it. I'm going to start this interview off the way I start off every interview.
All right.
I figure that by the time a band or anyone gets to me, they've already gone through many interviews down the list. So what's one question you don't want to be asked or are tired of answering? If I have it, I will strike it. You will not have to answer it.
You can ask me anything. If I'm like, I don't know, I'll just say pass and go on to the next.
All right. That sounds good. I like that approach.
Yeah.
It's very good. All right. Well, I'm actually not terribly aware of kind of the history of Small Stone as I was going through. Like, I know of it, but I don't know about how it came about and all of that good stuff. Do you have an abbreviated version you could throw at me and the peoples?
In a nutshell, it started in 1995. Mm-hmm. Looking back, it was probably a really bad idea. I had no idea what I was doing. And it was, at the time, in the 90s, music was like awful awesome.
Yeah.
There was, whether it was Beck's new record, or the Pumpkins, or all the indie, there was so many genres that were all great. Hip hop, Monster Magnet was fresh. And, we noticed the major labels started shying away from rock about 94, 95. That's when it became, first it was your Weezers and the poppy side of alt rock.
Yeah.
And I grew up on classic rock. The Who and Aerosmith are my jams. And, you know, I also love Hendrix. And so obviously his music's my music. And I just kind of said, let's just do this. And had no idea. I've never been in a recording studio other than like some Yiddishy band in high school. And just learned by making every single mistake you possibly could. Starved from 95 to 2000. 2000, like, Five Horse Johnson started selling.
Oh, such a good band.
Licensed some stuff to like Viva La Bam. And then the sync licensing game took off, and then the label grew. And it grew until the time essentially of Spotify taking over. You know, Spotify's great. It's, here's the entire history of music,
but
for free.
Yes.
So it kind of ruined our business model.
Have you found kind of a way that now you can adapt to that?
I literally got a day job because it was not, the revenue was cut into a third. Yeah, you can print vinyl, but it costs a shit ton to make.
Yeah.
And then you gotta wait to sell through it all to get it back. Where back in the day, let's face it, a CD cost $1 to make.
Yeah.
You sold it for 10, 15 bucks, you're like Rockefeller.
Yeah, that's true.
And you could go on to the next, you could develop a band. So now you have to be a lot more picky and a lot more careful. You go, hey man, I really want my record on vinyl. I'm like, I don't think I can sell it. Are you willing to chip in and buy some for yourself? No, I don't want to do that. Well, I can't press.
Well,
like,
then,
like my own man, Looter, I would love to press on vinyl, even though like Phil Durr, one of my best friends in the band, just passed away, even as a tribute to him. But it could be a $5,000 suicidal mistake on my part. I might only sell 100 copies. Now I'm sitting on 400 vinyls and 4,000 in the hole. So it's definitely picking and choosing, but I've also kind of switched. You notice these are all younger bands.
Yeah.
Small Stone got old. In a good way.
All right.
You're working with great bands like Five Horse, but they're even older than me now. We're 5, 6, 7, 8 records in, but 20-year-olds going out every night don't want to see 50-year-olds they never heard of. They want to see 22-year-olds they've never heard of.
Well, that was a... there's a Kevin Lyman quote when he was talking about shutting down the Monster Energy Tour.
Yeah.
And he said that rock and roll has gotten fat, old, and bald.
Yes.
And how are you... Obviously, you're...
I'm old and bald, but I'm not fat.
You've been talking about how you've been kind of getting newer bands.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the only way to counteract? Is there a way to make other bands that are older more relevant?
I think 20 years ago, major labels and bigger indies could live off their back catalog, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's in the realm anymore.
Huh.
Because Spotify or what have you. So you have to keep developing new, young, fresh. Let's see how far they can get. And that's kind of the avenue we're taking right now. And honestly, it's really fun to work with new people.
Yeah.
No,
switch it up every now.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, like okay, Five Horse are my dude. The band started and the label started at the same time, and we came up together. But we go in the studio, it's the same dish, and here's a load of beer, 1, 2, 3, cook. this stuff's different, and it's just a lot cooler. And maybe it's just my head got tired of doing the same thing every day.
Well, it's obviously like there's differences that Small Stone has done. Like, it's not just one style genre of music. It kind of spreads around. But is there anything that you've been like, or that you've toyed with to be like, man, I really tried this and it just did not work for like the label, like just anything that I've tried for?
There's been a few bands that I've absolutely loved, made like my favorite records on the label. Number one is Shame Club from St. Louis.
All right.
Maybe one of the most kick-ass rock and roll records you ever heard. I couldn't sell it.
Huh.
Nobody buy it. It happens. Sometimes you'll have bands that were, you understand the build from record one to two. They get to record two or record three or record four, and they're not quite where they are, want to be in their career, and some will just kind of give up, or, and you're like, you're almost there.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say who did that, but there are a few. And they know who they are.
You know who you are listening.
No, it's not. It's people change. People grow. Like, they might get married or want to have kids, and the touring life isn't for them anymore. So I'm not mad, but it's like, you know, you almost got to the finish line, and we don't know what could have happened.
It's not that you're mad. It's just that you're disappointed, as they say. as a parent might say.
You know what? That's a fair analogy. I can't argue that. I can't argue that one bit.
What is the Small Stone catalog up to now? Like, how many records is there within it?
170-some. And then, now you're going to start seeing a trend this year where it's vinyl only.
Really?
Yeah, like, the Tia Carrera record that comes out in a week or two is vinyl and digital only, no CD. So, kind of like, let's see what's left. Like, for example, like, I'm out of Dozer CDs, so I'm talking to the band the week ago, I'm like, we're out, distributors are asking, I don't know. And they're like, well, let's just get the digital salesman. Well, people want the vinyl too. And so there's a great flagship band that kind of doesn't exist anymore, but they get back together for festivals.
Yeah.
So what's the business model? Do you just take what you get, we all can get from digital and divvy it up, or do we keep putting money back into it? So that's like weird life stuff with the older bands where these younger guys who are working, you're like, okay, you can see it fresh on the paper. Hey, you're touring, and oh wow, we sold your 500 units in 6 months, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, it must be difficult, because I'm always interested, especially now, to ask younger bands what is kind of the purpose of a label for them, because there's so much that you can do as far as like online. You can go out, you can push, you can do like a PR person. But then of course you're working with both newer bands who might come from that mentality and older bands who are not.
I've asked younger bands, like both like Sundrifter and Errata, when we were talking, like, well, what can you do? And it's like, I'm like, you can do all this yourself. And there are bands like King Buffalo who have proven you can do it all yourself. And I think they're fantastic.
They are.
But the reason they're taking off is they're doing the work on the road. So a lot of these bands that don't have the capability to fully tour, that need the hype of a label behind it, or the network I might have, whether it's TV shows and sync licensing, or you know, club owners or what have you, that's where we come in. But you are correct. There's less and less need for a label, but there's always going to be a need, depending on what that artist's commitment is.
Well, and also what the label wants to do, too, right?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, there are so many bands who are like, oh, yeah, we have a label because, like, we just need somebody to print out physical things for us to do.
Well, if you're a band, too, sometimes, like, well, I don't want to pay $5,000 for vinyl.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I need a label. And, okay, so now it's weird.
Yeah.
It's definitely not 1995.
No, it's not.
2005. We're living in crazy times, and I kind of wonder, I love vinyl, I collect it myself.
Yeah.
I wonder how much longer this vinyl boom.
It's been going for a while, which is odd.
But
eventually, though.
Every boom has its bust. Yeah. And when is it, and what does it look like?
Floating to the flame like a riverboat gypsy.
You're gonna see.
CJLO 1690 AM. There's some Five Horse Johnson Mississippi King for you. That is, in case you're wondering, yes, the by far top played song that Spotify has for them, because for some reason we don't have it ripped in our vault, even though I know for a fact that record is sitting in there waiting to be ripped. So, project to do. Always projects to do. Before that, you heard part one of my interview that I did with Scott, the owner and founder of Small Stone Records. Scott Hamilton, to be precise, who I will continue to refer to as Scott, and probably forget to mention his last name because I'm kind of dumb. But that's fine, because, you know, you're not here for me. You're here to hear Scott say stuff. Speaking of Scott saying stuff, here's part two of the interview. And it's a bit shorter than part one, almost half the time. And then we'll play some tracks in between, because that's what we're doing today. Because I'm very excited to play some Road Saw. We definitely talked for half a second about them when we were talking. And it's kind of amazing to think of all the bands that I have forgotten were on Small Stone Records until Scott mentioned them. And then I was just like, oh, man, that band. Oh, man, that band. Oh, man, that band. And so now I get to kind of do some more stuff with those. And I'll play also some stuff that was at the showcase at South By for you, because I care what you hear. So here's part two of this interview with Scott from Small Stone. Keep it locked. This is CJLO 1690 AM. You're listening to Grade A Explosive.
What do you think about the new kind of like push for things like cassettes?
I think that's stupid. They sounded itchy in the first place.
I mean, that's totally true. Yeah, I believe that.
I mean, I'd rather listen to a CD than a cassette. A CD, yeah, at least sounds good.
And it will sound good no matter how many times you play it.
Yeah.
Unlike my Metallica tapes that are... I can't listen to them anymore. They're just there.
I don't know your age, but when I was 12, I was stealing my dad's chrome and metal tapes and making mixtapes. Those sounded great. But then if you like got the store-bought tape of like, you know, Ozzy, Diary of a Madman, it sounded great on the first two plays, and then it was just this muddy, meatish mess.
Yep. And not to mention all the times that like a malfunctioning player would just eat it. And then
you're in your car, and there is the cassette player now eating your tape.
Yep.
And now you've ruined your stereo. Yep. Now you're stuck to FM radio.
Yep.
Which sucks. So, CD me, please.
It's interesting to talk to someone who is also like, because every time people talk about radio,
yeah,
it's always referred to as like basically a dead medium. That a lot of people don't even regard it. Like they regard it in that they'll put. In that you can send a digital thing to it and it costs basically no money to send that email of a record. But it's interesting to talk to a label, like anyone within labels, which used to be so powerful like radio and now has shrunk down to like a smaller faction.
Well, look at, I mean, you go back to the history of corporate rock and payola.
Yeah,
and that's true. And what's awesome now are indie bands can get played on FM radio that they couldn't back in the day. I think that cool radio stations are cool radio stations, and they tend to be college-based or, you know, freeform or what have you. You've got better ones in Canada than we do in America, but there are a few decent ones left. Your flagship, what they call it, AOR, rock station, Knuckle Dragon, this shitstorm that's playing Nickelback.
Yeah.
They're not selling records anymore.
No, it's very weird.
They're selling lifestyle events and tickets. Like, let's go give Kiss $400 for fake Kiss. Don't miss Nickelback. Let's go get Greta Van Fleet. And none of it's real music to me. Hmm. And now I'm crossing some lines.
No, I mean, Greta Van Fleet is a very interesting topic that I will occasionally bring up with people, because there's always... There's basically two sides to it. There's, oh, I hate that band. They are basically Led Zeppelin and just a terrible knockoff of them, which is a fine critique. Like, they are that.
Yeah.
But then the argument that I usually put forth is then at least there's something.
At least there's some 20-year-olds who are playing rock and roll
exactly.
With a new audience.
Yeah.
And that I give you,
I mean, it's not a great argument.
No, but it's fair and it's optimistic. I just would take the Rival Sons over Greta Van Fleet any day of the week. And I haven't seen the Rival Sons on Saturday Night Live yet.
That's true. I mean, they are really good.
Yeah, and so I'm not dogging Greta Van Fleet, although I've got a few bands on the label that sound Led Zeppelin-ish.
Yeah.
Like Lichinga, for a fact, that would wipe the floor with Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, they're so good, too.
Yeah. So I'm just, that's just, like, I'm on, you know, and one of my best friends produced that record.
Huh.
Al Sutton, who made the Five Worst Records, and the Halfway to Gone, and the Nova Driver, and all that shit. Made the Greta Van Fleet.
Huh.
A mile and a half from my house in Detroit. I'm like, dude, I don't get it. But
if it works, I guess.
You know, hey, maybe they'll bring back, I don't know, I love it. They're going to bring back rock. Like, okay.
Maybe.
But there's all this other stuff that's really good out there, you know? Like Canada, Black Mountain.
Oh, Black Mountain is so good.
Yes.
I love Black Mountain.
So you're over here defending Greta Van Fleet, now we're talking about good bands.
I mean,
just saying.
You can do both. Both can exist, I think. Nah. I mean, I don't play Greta Van Fleet on my show, but you know, I have other stuff to go with. But yeah, I mean, like, I think
I'm just throwing it back in.
Yeah, no, I know, I get it.
Yeah.
But like, I was the other argument I make for Greta Van Fleet is everybody needs a gateway band too, right? And if they are the gateway band that gets anyone to something else.
I have no idea what the fuck that leads to. For real.
I mean, maybe it'll lead to Small Stone.
I don't know.
One never knows.
Most of her bands, you know, they're all different. They're all different animals.
That's true.
You know, like, you go back to like a Freedom Hawk is kind of like this Fu Manchu new metal thing. And or you go back to like old Sasquatch was just bombastic rock or the blues rock of Five Wars. Dozer in Sweden and Dixie Witch. Dixie Witch essentially Grand Funk Railroad from Austin, Texas.
Oh.
I mean, those bands were kind of similar, but then the newer stuff like Arata. Arata blends like Jane's Addiction and Helmet and Quicksand.
Yeah, it's real good.
And like Sundrifter is fucking awesome, and I can't describe it because, well, you could get lazy about it. Oh, they got a Caius thing. I'm like, he can out-sing Garcia for days. And I like John Garcia.
Yeah.
Like, so it's...
We all like John Garcia.
Yeah,
but, you know, there's... Realities must be fed, you know?
I just like good music. And I'm picky and selective rat bastard about it.
I understand. I get it.
Yeah.
Weekend goes live at Club Soda on Sunday, May 19th with A Taste of Reggae, one amazing concert featuring three incredible live bands jamming at Club Soda on Victoria Holiday Weekend, Sunday, May 19th. Doors open at 7 p.m. Performing will be Meta and the Cornerstones alongside Ilem and Inus Aso. This is a show you will not want to miss.
Nine out of 10 doctors recommend a steady diet of heavy metal riffs. And that last guy is a poser. So tune in to Sin After Sin, 10 p.m. every Wednesday, for your weekly dose of old-school, earth-shattering metal. Only on CJLO. Consuming riffs may cause whiplash and or liver failure. Please headbang responsibly.
This is Sundrifter, and you are listening to CJLO. Montreal's rock.
What you gonna do when Montreal comes for you?
CJLO 1690 AM. We just heard there before the break with some Sundrifter with Hammerburn off their latest record, Visitation. Of course, you heard an interview I did with them a couple weeks ago. And if not, then you can go to the CJLO website and check that out. You know, for fun. For funds. Let's get right back into this interview that I did with Scott, the founder of Small Stone Records. You heard part two there, you know, right before that Sundrifter. And now I'm going to play part three. So enjoy this, and then we'll get to the end of the show, because I only got like 15 minutes left. So keep it locked. CJLO 1690 AM. Enjoy this.
Let's talk about South By for a minute. Liz from Earsplit, thank you, Liz, for setting this up, by the way, told me that it's been a while since Small Stone has done a showcase here.
5 years.
What kind of has been the precipice for doing it this year?
I've been coming the last 2 years. And Dave, you met Dave with the glasses, yep, my attorney. It's like, we got to come back. I'm like, now, dude, this festival's over. And then last year, they almost had us. I was going to bring down the Cold Stairs, Lachinga, and see what else was going on and pack us something up. And then literally, Lachinga hit me in November, like, I think we're going to do a day party at South by Southwest. Really? I go, you have a showcase? I go, no. I go, fuck it, I'm going to do a showcase. And I built a showcase in a week.
Yeah?
However,
that's pretty good.
I'm by no means in a venue I want to be in. We used to be on that side of town, but there was politics at South by Southwest.
Right, of course.
And I'm like, okay, I'll go in here, and the numbers will reflect what you're giving me. But the real reason I did it is tomorrow there's that Stoner Jam day party.
Yep.
The day parties are always better than the night parties. Right. And
crazy.
Do you know the history of Small Stone down here?
I do not know the history of Small Stone down here.
Our first showcase down here was like in 97.
All right.
And started with a simple day party. And Man's Ruin was taking off, had emos and all that. Well, by the early 2000s, Man's Ruin had passed. And myself and a few others picked up the pieces. And we came down here, the room 710, and I brought 12 bands. I'd have six play for free in the day, and then we would bleed it into the night. So if you were here in the day, you didn't have to pay cover at a South by wristband, and people from the club loved it. And it became like a coveted showcase. And then weird things started happening, like 2008, like Metallica's playing, and all of a sudden you're competing with, you know, Dave Grohl and his, like, I'm like, I can't compete with that across the street from me.
Yeah. Like, who can compete with
that? Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I got Solace and Roadsaw inside, and Dave Grohl's across the street.
Oh, Roadsaw.
Yeah. No, like.
I miss that band.
So, and then we partnered up with Converse for a couple years, 2010, 2011, and the shit was good. And then by 2012-ish, rock was starting to die here. Mm. A lot of hip-hop.
Yep.
A lot
still
of all
the
that,
case, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the Warped Tour stuff was really taken off, or whatever the fifth incarnation of it. So I just kind of said, "Oh, okay, let's just try it." And I knew I wanted the people to go play the day party. The guarantee they get helps them survive down here.
Yeah,
you know, they don't get much; they get paid $250 a night, but it affords them the luxury to do that. And if you're a new band, it's a good thing to put in your belt, it's on your resume, you're building.
Could you? I mean, this is probably more for a... It's probably a less of an interview question because people will probably find it less interesting, but I might as well keep it rolling just in case.
No, it's fine.
What if Small Stone teamed up with something like Ripple and the Stoner Jam and, like, some of the other things and put on, like, just a large thing during the day party?
Well, it's funny because we used to do that ourselves.
All right, well...
And I've been approached by other people about something like that. I'm not sure yet. And at the same time, like, what if we just skip this and just go do those Vegas parties?
That's true. There is.
And I think that they've got something going on out there. And
Psycho Vegas is real good.
Yeah, and the other thing that John Gist is setting up out there. What's it? It's not Psycho Vegas, but it's something.
Yeah.
It's not Stoner Vegas. I forget the name of it.
Yeah. Shoot.
But I think they got a nice thing going on out there.
Yeah.
And the weather's normally pretty good.
Yeah.
So maybe not do this and approach that thing. Because I used to do a little Small Stone showcase in cities. Like, we'd hit Chicago one year, we'd hit Boston, we'd hit New York, we'd hit Philly, whatever. And but it was born out of here. But I'm not even bad. Like, I have no beef with this place. It's cool. But I'm like, I think there's a more efficient way to do it.
Yeah.
And it's, let's go to Vegas. Or, like, there's a Canadian Stoner Festival that's pretty cool. I forget what it's called. I know the Chingo Sasquatch played it last year.
Yeah, there's the 420 Fest in Calgary that they're doing.
I think those matter more than this. This affords me to meet people like you. And the bands to meet people like you.
Yeah, that's true.
And let's face it, we live in a cold climate.
Yeah.
It's nice to come down here in March.
Yes. I mean...
We've earned it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been a cold winter this year.
Yeah, so... I mean, I don't know what will happen next year, but this is me putting my feet back in the water.
Yeah.
In 2014, we had a really big flood, and it almost took the label out. Like, my house flooded, like, 10 feet of water and all that. I had to let some bands go. Like Oofad had a record they wanted to... I'm like, dude, I can't put out a record. I got to rebuild my house. I got to use that. So, like, I let Oofad go. I let Greenleaf go. I let Gozu go. And I had to because I couldn't help them at that time. And some of my bigger bands helped Ripple grow. And, you know, whatever, it's all good. But I'm kind of younger bands and in a different direction. And, I have some ideas, and I just don't know if this place will be on my radar for it. Once again, it's those little festivals.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I remember, I recall there being, at one point, a Small Stone showcase at CMJ.
Oh, yeah.
When that was going on.
There was a bunch.
And, like, I remember them very fondly.
Yeah.
Of course, you never really know with CMJ if you're remembering it fondly.
They were CBs. CBs are the Continental.
Yeah.
Continental. Those are good.
Yeah, Fireball Ministry. That was a different show. But, like, yeah, there's a bunch of good stuff going on.
My favorite year was Dixie Witch, Ballast, Sasquatch, the Brotlow, Five Horse Johnson, one or two others. And Dixie Witch brought so much amplification, they kept blowing the power on stage.
That's a good year.
So we decided they could either cut half their amps or turn off the lights. And the band chose to turn off the lights.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So they played in the dark, and that was cool as hell. And then the weirdest night, I remember we left that, and somebody dragged us over to some bar three blocks away, no idea. And there's Tony Soprano, the actor, you know, James Gandolfini. And this person locked us in a bar. It's James Gandolfini and eight chicks and 10 of us. And all of a sudden it was 7 in the morning.
That sounds like a quintessential New York story.
Yeah, that was
a CMJ style story of like, oh yes, there's something, and then it was 7 in the morning.
I remember like my wife called me. I'm like, I haven't gone to bed yet. She wasn't impressed.
Yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah.
So then I guess the last question here. I'll do one more before last question.
All right.
I asked bands this question, but I'm interested in your perspective.
Well, remember, I'm also in a band.
Well, yes. But I'm more talking to you about small stoning.
All right.
What's the worst musical instrument?
Man, I don't know. Kazoo.
Kazoo. That's a popular one. Not super popular, though.
Kazoo, violin.
Oh, now that's two separate spectrums you're going for. I like that.
Yeah, I like... Yeah. Just give me an electric guitar and a bass and drums, man. And a shitload of pedals.
So now, for the rest of 2019, what is kind of on the horizon as far as releases that you've got going on? Well, I guess for the first half of it, I suppose, because you never quite know what's going to happen.
There's a second run of the Black Elephant record happening right now. There's a Bison Machine record that we recorded last year that took forever to mix and do the art. That's going to come out this summer. There's a bunch of things. So basically, our schedule's laid out till June, and there might be some more vinyl reissues of things that haven't come out yet.
All right.
There's talks of Puny Human and Halfway to Gone vinyl, and it's kind of taking it one thing at a time.
All right.
But there's still talking to new bands, or do we not sign a new band, or we send Sundrifter into the studio and make another record? So it's...
I mean, that's a tough choice, because that new record is real good.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know, I'm on... We used to do like 10, 15, 20 records a year. I won't do more than 10 a year, and I think 6 to 8 is the real number to actually promote it.
Properly, yeah.
Yeah. When you start getting into 20s with, and you're not making a shit ton of money, now you're really stretching yourself
thin. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't want to get into ever stretching myself too thin. And I have. I remember like last year at Todd, I was like, what? Todd from Ripple at South By, he goes, man, what advice do you have for me? I go, dude, don't put out too many releases in a year. You're going to help yourself. He goes, yeah, I just did that. I go, see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ripple really is putting out a lot.
I'm like, dude, slow down. I'm like, I get it. You love rock. Slow down. Because unless you've got a trust fund and a staff at 20, you can't. That's my take.
Fair enough. Well, thanks, man, for chatting with me.
Pleasure.
CJLO, 1690 AM. And yes, thank you, Scott, for chatting with me, in case you might be listening to this. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe you're like... I'm going to listen to that, and it will be something. Well, you know, it was good. Just like the entire showcase was, if you are interested in anything from Small Stone, you should just go check them out if you are unfamiliar. Which, if you're listening to this show and you're unfamiliar with Small Stone, you should probably get on that. You know, it's kind of a thing that you might want to do. So... yeah, go do that now, at this very moment. Let me plan out your week here for the last, once again, I guess, not last week of middle week of May. What's going on? What am I talking about? Not much going on as far as, you know, huge big shows that are happening right now, which is good because, you know, we all have to save up our money for what's happening for Heavy coming up soon. But let's go over some of the other stuff that you might want to check out if you're so inclined. They are all smaller shows, and that is good and okay. Of course, the biggest thing that's happening coming this coming weekend, not this weekend, obviously, next weekend, is Pooza. So plan out your week accordingly, including a free show from Andrew WK, which is happening next Sunday. So, you know, if you're listening to me from outside, that would be cool. Go to the where Andrew go to where the Andrew WK show is and just play me talking to you. There's other bands, of course, Against Me, Planet Smashers, Strung Out, Big D and the Kids Table, Smoke or Fire, Iron Reagan, just a ton of them. There's also a Slam Disc show that's happening next week on Sunday, which I believe one of the bands is going to be calling in to chat with me. I don't know that for a fact. We still need to plan it out, but that looks like it's going to happen, so yeah. And that's basically what's going on next weekend is Pooza. All the way Pooza. But what's going on for the rest of the week, you might ask? Well, funny you should ask, because most of it is happening tonight. Including at Turbo House, you can go see Blessed and Everett Bird, who's going to be playing Blessed, like, you know, Tunic and things like that. Loud, aggressive, punky type of stuff. So you should maybe just go to that, enjoy it, and then, you know, just have fun. And then at Piranha tonight, also Blaze Bailey, formerly from Iron Maiden, you know, from 94 to 99, is going to be playing. And I believe, if I recall correctly, the good dudes that are in Fractal Cypher are going to be there. Is that correct? Hold on, let me look that up, and I can tell you. Fractal Cypher, yes, is going to be there, along with Thrash Lorraine. And Dissymmetry. Oh, that's a pretty good show. So, yeah, go to that. It will be pretty good tonight. Or go see Blessed, if that's what you're looking for. So you got power metal-y things that are a bit more expensive at $32. Or you have, you know, a punky thing that's $13. So choose wisely, I guess, for whatever you want. Other things happening this week at Piranha include the 19th with Vicious Rumors, Voodoo Terror Tribe. That will be a pretty good show. Vomitory, Necrosphere, Skull Mace on the 20th. Yeah, that's pretty much all that goes for. And yeah, I think that covers most of it. Also tonight, if you're interested, King Kong and the Barbecue Show is going to be playing at Lesko. And oh, of course, Alien Weaponry is on the 16th. So on, what's that, Thursday. So that's a good show and you should go to it. You want to hear some things, some bands singing in, I'm not actually sure what the language is of New Zealand, like what the proper native language is, but that's what they're singing in, so there's that. Let's end this off with some Roadsaw, because I want to play them. Here's some Dead Horse, and then tune in next week, where we will have the Altruist coming in to chat about a record they're going to be putting out during the summer, as well as, you know, maybe some bands that are playing Pooza are going to be calling in pre-playing. So enjoy that. Here's some Dead Horse from Roadsaw, Small Stone Records. Keep it locked. More CJLO programming after this. CJLO 1690 AM. This has been Grade A Explosives.